This is Dodger Talk, presented by Chevy.
I really like the way they call a game.
Isn't it wonderful?
Dear God, keep it going.
Call 866-987-2570 right now.
This is about a championship.
Bets to the track, bets to the wall, he leaps, and he makes the catch.
This is so historic.
Presented by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Mutual of America.
Your retirement company.
And by Daniels Jewelers.
Making diamond dreams come true.
Your chance to sound off on everything Dodgers.
All we do is win.
And now your host for Dodger Talk presented by Chevy, David Vasse.
The Dodgers get Orel Hershiser a win on his birthday with a 7-5 victory over the San Diego Padres. Welcome to Dodger Talk, presented by Chevy. David Vasse, live at Petco Park in San Diego, presented by Chevy, obviously, Chevrolet, and Find New Roads again. We're with you until 6 o'clock, leading up to Petros and Money. Ned Coletti will be joining us in about 10 minutes. We're taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. The Dodgers now have a 3.5-game lead in the NL West. 4 up on the Padres in the loss column. Their magic number to clinch the NL West is at 6 after clinching a berth in the postseason for the 8th consecutive season. And they seem to be on their way of winning their 8th consecutive division title. And hopefully this is the year the Dodgers bring home the trophy for the first time since 1988. The Dodgers did it in a very unorthodox way today with their pitching, as did the Padres. This did not have the feel of a big game, considering the Padres decided to push back Chris Paddock so the Dodger hitters wouldn't see him again. Do they really believe that's a huge advantage? The Dodgers have seen Paddock. There's a lot of video out there on Paddock. And for the Dodgers, Dustin May did not start this game. Brustar Graterol and Adam Colera came in for the first couple of innings. And then the Dodgers brought in Dustin May for 5 1/3 and 83 pitches. Let's hear from the Dodgers' redhead on what took place and how he found out about this strategy by the Dodgers.
I thought it was pretty solid. There were some miscues on my end that ended up going a pretty long ways, but for the most part, I thought it was pretty good.
Miscues in terms of what?
Execution. Just location-wise, just wasn't where I wanted it on those two pitches, and they took advantage of it.
You continue to build your resume and prove that you belong in the starting rotation for a team that has the best record in the league and is pushing towards the postseason, having already clinched a postseason berth today with this win. How pleased are you with the opportunities that you've been given, being able to capitalize on those situations?
No, it's huge. I mean, to be able to be on a team like this and just to go out there and just be on the squad is huge. I mean, we have a very talented team, and I'm blessed to be here.
What physical checks did you need in terms of checking off the boxes to make sure that that contusion on your left foot was okay?
We just had to go through some protocols, like jumping around and like being able to like go back and forth and like direction change and just being able to feel confident that it wasn't going to affect my motions or anything towards the plate. And I felt it was pretty solid today.
There is Dustin May, who did not start the game but did pitch 5 1/3 innings in today's 7-5 victory. And, you know, we've seen the Giants do this to the Dodgers and go with a couple of relief pitchers, then go with what people are terming as bulk innings pitcher. And that's what Dustin May was apparently today, 5 1/3 innings. And part of the reasoning given was the Dodgers weren't sure how his left foot would react in a game situation, so they didn't want to start him and then all of a sudden have to cover 8 innings with relievers. They did a better job of covering this game with as little relief pitchers as they possibly could in this type of game. Graterol, Kolarik, Dustin May, Victor Gonzalez, and Pedro Baez, who picked up his second save of the season. On the flip side, the Padres used 9 different relief pitchers. It kind of makes you feel like the Padres, after losing last night, may have conceded this series to the Dodgers, or it didn't seem like this game mattered as much to the Padres as you would think it would. I guess it goes back to the new playoff format where the Padres and Dodgers both are going to be hosting the best of three series. Whether it's as a four seed or as a one seed still remains to be seen, but you would have to believe the Dodgers now are in the driver's seat with only 10 more games to go for them. The Padres only have 8 more games left on their schedule. The Padres will go to Seattle. The Dodgers are headed to Denver, Colorado to play a 4-game series against the Rockies before returning home for the final 6 games against the Oakland A's and Angels to close out the season. But what it looks like, and part of the reason why the Padres did not have Chris Paddock pitch today, is because of the, I guess, larger picture for them. They believe they're getting to the NLDS, and they believe they're going to see the Dodgers in the NLDS. So I guess they don't want to tip their hand as much as possible heading into what really matters, and that's the postseason. This year, it feels like winning the division is more ceremonial than anything else. There's a pride factor, obviously, for the Dodgers with the best record the majority of the season in baseball. If they're not going to win the division, that's a bad sign, because that would tell you they're not playing their best baseball. And it didn't look really great after the first game. They were sloppy defensively. Their pitching let them down, and it was just not a good game. They struck out 14 times in that first game, but they really cooled off a hot Padres offense that was averaging 5 runs per game coming into the last 2 weeks. So they did a great job against this Padre offense. And Fernando Tatis Jr. continues to struggle in the month of September. He's only hitting around 200. And I guess if you want to hype up this series as a showdown between MVP candidates, you would say Mookie Betts had more of an impact on this series than Fernando Tatis Jr. And that's the way everybody's trying to hype it up, Tatis versus Mookie for the MVP. I would say going into the final 10 games for the Dodgers, Mookie Betts is definitely the MVP, because not only of the impact that he's had leading off for the Dodgers, the great fielding in right field, the great base running that's impacted games, but how about how he's impacted other players on the team, in particular Austin Barnes? Isn't that what valuable is, making the other players on your team better? Mookie Betts has done that in a variety of different ways. And history is at stake in a certain way looking at this. The only other player to win the MVP in both leagues, Frank Robinson in 1961 and 1966, doing it for the Reds and Baltimore Orioles. So that would be high-class company Mookie Betts would be in if he won the MVP this season, albeit in a 60-game season, but still goes down as an MVP. And he would join Frank Robinson as the only other player in Major League history to win an MVP in both leagues. 866-987-2570. When we continue here on Dodger Talk presented by Chevy, we will hear from Ned Colletti, get his thoughts on how this series unfolded and what's in store for the Dodgers in the final 10 games of the regular season. The Dodgers clinch their postseason berth today with a 7-5 victory over the Padres on AM570 LA Sports.
Mulligan hit the ball very hard of late. And a fly ball to center field, and he just hit it harder. A home run! A.J. Pollock has been on fire. His 11th home run of the year over the wall in slight right center, over 400 feet, and the Dodgers take a 1-0 lead.
That was in the second inning. Pollock continues to be one of the most consistent hitters for the Dodgers this season. That was off opener Adrian Morejon, who takes the loss for the Padres as the Dodgers win their 35th game of the season with a 7-5 victory over the Padres, taking this series 2 out of 3, taking the season series with 6 wins and 4 losses against San Diego. So they own the tiebreaker, and that's why their magic number is at 6. We would like to congratulate Camelia Capel of Orange, who receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card, go to am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run. David Vasse live at Petco Park in San Diego until 6 o'clock. Petros and Money will take over then. And for you, I know you were nervous after that first game. A lot of unhappy Dodger fans starting to panic a little too soon. How do you feel about the matchup if it were to take place now in the NLDS between your Dodgers and these San Diego Padres? 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Ned Colletti, Sportsnet LA analyst and former Dodger GM. Ned, for the Dodgers, taking 2 out of 3 definitely is a sigh of relief because it's a sign that they're starting to play a little bit better against a really good team.
I think game one may have opened their eyes up just a little bit. I thought that today was really kind of a defining game. Didn't necessarily like the last couple of innings out of the pen, but by and large, it showed what we've seen all year. San Diego's a good team. Dodgers are a very, very accomplished team. I think there's a difference, and I think that today's game showed it. After game one, San Diego had a lot of emotion. They were flying pretty high. You had Grisham standing there watching the home run ball and all that theatrics. But at the end of the day, they still lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers, and they were home doing it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when the Yankees were winning their titles, how everybody was coming after them with the bullseye, and there was always a lot of enthusiasm from the opposing team as they were beating Goliath. And I kind of felt like the Dodgers had the same type of composure those Yankee teams had, where they've been there, they've done that, they've played in bigger games than any of these three in San Diego, and they didn't panic at all.
No, and that's why it's hard to beat a champion when they play like that, because they know. They've already walked this. How many big games have they had through the last 8 seasons and postseasons? They've had far more than San Diego has had. San Diego, this series was probably the biggest series they've had in probably over a decade. So when you add all that up and you've got a calmness to it, you get JT back, you know what you can do, and you know that they are going to give you a chance at some point in that game to capitalize. And when you get the momentum early, A.J. Pollock home run, when you get something like that, suddenly now they are back on trying to prove themselves. And the Dodgers are just going on and playing how they play. And that's why it's tough to beat this team. That's why it's tough to beat a team that is consistently above everybody else.
Ned, Caleb Ferguson, done for the season. He has a big tear in his left elbow, and we hope everything turns out okay for him because he's very young in his baseball career. But how big do the Dodgers need Victor Gonzalez to step up now from the left side, considering how good Ferguson had been all season?
Yes, exactly. Caleb Ferguson, I thought, as I looked through the first segment of games this season, Caleb Ferguson was one that probably had as much of a step up as anybody and really started to gain confidence. Great arm side run on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Really pitched great. Losing him is a loss, make no mistake. You've got depth. McGee has pitched well. You've got Gonzalez, as you say, who has gotten his feet wet. And I think that's one of the things this organization does is if this was before September in a typical 25-man roster, Gonzalez may not have even pitched yet. Now you're gonna ask him to come in and take somebody's place, perhaps. That's tough to do. But they kind of give guys a chance. I think that the bullpen is going to be a key to any postseason. And you're going to have to be able to get lefties and righties out. And replacing Caleb is going to be tough. And we drafted him. He fell late into the draft because of a Tommy John surgery. We love the arm. We love the kid. Picked him in the 30-something. I forget exactly what round, but late 30s, I think, and worked his way up. So this will be, if it's a surgery, this won't be his first. This will be his second. But, again, he's somebody that has come back from it. And typically guys do come back a little bit stronger. I also think some of the performance that he had leading up to this, he was probably going through something well before this thing hit yesterday. I think he was probably feeling it a little bit and trying to pitch through it, because if you remember, the last couple times out there, a lot of hits, atypical of how his performance was early in the season. So when I started to see that, I always wonder, when I see somebody who's dominant in one way and then suddenly they start to get hit a lot, or there's a game or a couple games in a reliever's case where they're atypical. It's not how they performed all year. I'm thinking they're either tipping their pitches, or if I guess if you're playing the Astros from way back when, somebody's banging a garbage can, or they're hurt. Something's wrong with them. And so as it turns out here, Caleb perhaps was feeling it early and wanted to keep fighting through it.
Yeah, great point. Ned, we'll check in with you tomorrow night after the Dodgers and Rockies tangle up a mile high from sea level. Thanks a lot for coming on.
You're welcome, David. My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
There he goes, former Dodger GM and Sportsnet LA analyst Ned Coletti. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to La Puente. Hector, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse, live from San Diego. Hi, Hector.
Hey, Dave, how's it going, man?
I'd tremendous.
I like to see the way the Dodgers bounce back today. I like the way they bounce back, man. That first game was a scare, but they show perseverance, man. They bounce back, and now take the series from them.
All right, I appreciate the analysis, Hector. It seems like you're back on the bandwagon. I like it. Let's go out to Fontana. Gilbert, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Gilbert.
Hey, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a Los Angeles police officer, and I called to thank and appreciate Los Angeles Dodger organization, supporting law enforcement in L.A. I'm very proud to be a police officer in L.A., and I'm very proud to be a Dodger fan since the 60s. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your continued work in protecting the city. And, man, you really made me nervous when you said you worked for the LAPD. I thought I did something wrong. I paid my parking tickets, Gilbert. Gilbert, I got to fix my tail light, but I'll get to it, all right? Don't worry about it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, and go Dodgers.
All right, thanks for the phone call. Wow, man, they're always watching me. 866-987-2570. Dodgers get the win over the Padres today, 7-5. Let's go out to San Diego. Charles is in the Stay Classy City. What's up, Charles?
Hey, Dave. I know it's only Dave, but I wanted to talk about Justin May. I thought he was really sharp today. And actually, I thought he felt really comfortable coming out of the out of the bullpen. I was wondering if what you think about him being sort of a little long reliever, sort of the same thing they did with Kenta Maeda a couple years back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Dodgers decide to do in the first couple of rounds of the postseason, because they've been very transparent about the fact they are considering doing exactly what they did today with against the Padres, and that's having a couple of openers and then having a pitcher come in like Dustin May to pitch the bulk of the middle inning. So it's very possible they have a repeat type of strategy in the first couple of rounds of the playoffs, especially with the questions surrounding Walker Buehler and the blister on his right hand.
That's a good point. And I was thinking of, for example, starting pitcher was grouching or whatever. This time, I think main issues is in the first innings where I think he gets the starting pitcher jitters and whatnot, and
being I disagree with that.
I don't think he's used to.
I think what I believe the issue is he has hard time elevating the fastball, and that's what other evaluators have told me, Charles. A lot of his pitches are knee-high and lower, and yes, he gets a lot of ground balls, but the Padres barreled up a lot of pitches today that were hit right at guys, and that is somewhat alarming, I'm sure, to the Dodgers as well. There were over 5 balls hit over 100 miles an hour off of Dustin May today. That shouldn't be happening if you're throwing upwards of 99 miles an hour. 866-987-2570. And by the way, the 99 that you see on the radar gun, that's the velocity out of his hand. That's not the velocity crossing home plate. You could check that out during a game on MLB.com. Let's go out to Orange. Chris, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse, live from San Diego. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Dave, how you doing? My question for you is about Coach Roberts. Is he in any danger if the Dodgers don't win everything this year? Because I've looked back in the last few games, the losses, some near losses. He continues to put Jansen in. A lot of these guys, they don't know what position to play. And you go to Seager, you go to whoever, they go, what position you play? He's like, I don't know. What's today? These are coaching moves. Is his job in danger?
No, I don't believe it is, Chris. I feel like this season is so wacky that no matter how this season ends, Dave Roberts will be back in 2021, and we'll see what happens then. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570. We're going to take our final time out here on Dodger Talk presented by Chevy, live from Petco Park. When we continue, we'll give you an update on why Jock Peterson was not on the active roster. Also, an update on Walker Buehler. Got some information for you on the Dodgers' young right-hander. Today, the Dodgers are feeling good. Happy flight to Denver, Colorado.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
After a 7-5 victory over the Padres on AM570 LA Sports.
First and third, two out. The 3-2 is a fly ball to left center field. That one's well hit. That's going to roll to the wall. Split the seam. Betts scores easily. Turner is on his way home, and he'll jog in safely. A two-out, two-run double for Will Smith, and the Dodgers take a 5-1 lead.
Will Smith hitting his stride at the plate, continuing to swing a hot bat. He drives in three runs for the Dodgers as they beat the Padres 7-5. David Vasse live in San Diego at Petco Park as the Dodgers now have a magic number to clinch the NL West at 6 after their victory today. This is Dodger Talk presented by Chevy. Coming up at the top of the hour, Petros and Money for a full hour. Hey, don't blame me. Blame a bullpen game that saw the Padres use 9 different pitchers in a game that took 3 hours and 25 minutes to complete because of all those pitching changes. I thought Major League Baseball wanted to limit pitching changes, and they're allowing these teams to have bullpen type of games. So the Dodgers, it worked out for them today as they score 7 runs against all 9 pitchers here that the Padres threw at them in San Diego. The Padres will head to Seattle for a 3-game weekend series against the Mariners. The Dodgers only have 10 more games to play in the regular season starting tomorrow afternoon at Coors Field, a 4-game series against the Rockies. Then the Dodgers come back home and will play the A's for 3 and the Angels to close out the final 3 games of the regular season. Dave Roberts told me he's hoping to have Walker Buehler back for at least one start when the Dodgers do return home from Dodger Stadium. Roberts said earlier today that Buehler has been throwing at the alternate site with his blister covered. He's keeping his arm in shape, but also trying to protect that blister on his right index finger. I feel like I recommended that a couple of weeks ago, so I'm glad that I'm on point with what the Dodgers' plan is. But Dave Roberts did say he wants to have Buehler at least make one start before the postseason, and obviously when he does make that start, he can't have that finger covered. So we'll see how that blister fares without it being covered and whether or not it is healed more than what we saw the last time he made a start, which was in Arizona last week. So that's going to be pivotal as far as what the Dodgers decide to do with their rotation going into the postseason. They are the first team in baseball this season to clinch a berth in the playoffs with their win today, 7-5. They have a 4-game lead over the Padres in the loss column. Now, we want to send out our thoughts and prayers to Jock Peterson and his great wife, Kelsey. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Jock was off the roster for a period of time because of going on the paternity list. He came back, and all of a sudden now he has had to leave the team again, and the Dodgers termed it a family emergency list. So our thoughts and prayers are with Jock Peterson and Kelsey Peterson. I don't have any information on what's going on, but you just hope everything is good with them. They're both great people. 866-987-2570. Hey, don't forget, our guy Steve Brenner wanted me to remind you, Vin Scully's auction of his memorabilia collection is still going on right now at huntauctions.com. Before we say goodnight, let's close it out with a guy that's got as much energy as the entire city of LA, and that is our guy, Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, David? Hey, great win all around for the Dodgers today. We really needed to solidify our place in this division. Sad to hear about Caleb. Definitely thinking about Jacques and his family. You know, I just really was really pumped to get this win, to see these guys really step up to the Padres and say, hey, you guys are going to try to come in here and try to act like you guys are the big dogs in MLB. And the Dodgers said no. And I really point to last night's game with Kenley Jensen, the way he showed his composure in striking those batters out really said a lot about what we want to be in this postseason and our mindset right now. As for Trent, look, I was just a little hot about Kershaw because I know what Clayton Kershaw and Alan Kershaw represents in this city for how much they give back. And, you know, you don't show a guy like Clayton like that. You could pimp a home run, but don't disrespect the GOAT like that. Great win, David. I'm pumped. Let's get ready for Colorado. Let's finish this out strong and get ready for a good World Series run. Thanks again, David. Go Dodgers.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot for the phone call. Yeah, everybody was expecting the Dodgers to retaliate for Trent Grisham getting excited and emotional after hitting that game-tying home run off of Clayton Kershaw in the first game. Well, the Dodgers didn't take the bait. They kept their composure, and all they cared about was winning. And they found a way to regroup with a 3-1 victory last night. Then they come back today with seven big runs at Petco Park for a 7-5 victory. And that's a team with experience, with composure, that's been there before. I know you always hear it in sports that experience is a measurable that you don't find on a stat sheet. It's true. And the Dodgers have had different incarnations of different players and teams over the last 8 years. But the majority of these players have been around for a while. They're veterans, and they understand and have been there before. The young Padres have not, and they're very emotional, and maybe they were too emotional in this series, and that worked against their offense. But they did make it interesting today against Dustin May, the Dodger relievers, late. It was a 7-1 victory going into the bottom of the seventh inning, and they cut it to 7-5, and that ended up being the final score. And the Dodgers now headed to Denver. Julio Urias will be on the mound tomorrow for the Dodgers, going up against Kyle Freeland in game one of a four-game series at the Mile High City. Julio is 3-0 with an ERA of 3.53. Freeland 2-1 with an ERA of 3.54. Morongo pregame begins at 4:30 with first pitch at 5:40. Thanks to Colin Yee and Zach L. Caldy for their help back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald for his help back at Dodgers Stadium. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast at am570lasports.com or by downloading the iHeartRadio app. The Dodgers are the first team in baseball this season to clinch a ticket to the postseason. The magic number to clinch the NL West is at 6 after they beat the Padres today 7-5. Live from San Diego at Petco Park, I'm David Vasse. Here comes Petros and Money. Have a great night. See ya.
This has been Dodger Talk, presented by Chevrolet.
By New Roads.
Azusa Pacific University.
Graduating game changer since 1899.
And Chef Marito Seasonings.
Bring out the chef in you.
Tune in every single game for all the LA Dodgers baseball action on the official home of the Blue.